Our scripture reading is Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me."
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in response to a letter he received from a man in Texas, said, and I quote, "I had also hoped that the white moderate would reject the myth concerning time in relation to the struggle for freedom. I have just received a letter from a white brother in Texas. He writes, 'All people know that the colored people will receive equal rights eventually, but it is possible that you are in too much of a religious hurry.' It has taken Christianity almost 2,000 years to accomplish what it has. The teachings of Christ take time to come to earth. Such an attitude comes from a tragic misconception of time, from the strangely irrational notion that there is something in the very flow of time that will inevitably cure all ills. Actually, time itself is neutral. It can be used either destructively or constructively. More and more, I feel that the people of ill will have used time much more effectively than have the people of goodwill. We will have to repent in this generation not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people," end quote. With the passing of Nelson Mandela, I've had this quote from Martin Luther King's letters from the Birmingham jail in my mind. My apologies if I have used it in a sermon before, not sure I have, but I am prone to use this quote a lot. Most of the time, I just read it to myself. Every time I read those words, I want to go crawl into a hole somewhere and hide. Every time I think of Martin Luther King Jr. sitting in jail or Nelson Mandela sitting in jail, I hear these words from MLK and I start thinking, how many times have I said, "Just give it time, everything will be okay. Time heals all wounds." How many times have we said to any group of people, "Your time will come, the church will let you in, but it's going to take time. You just need to wait and wait and wait and wait." John the Baptist's disciples had been doing a lot of waiting. John the Baptist had proclaimed the one who is to come. Remember John wandering the wilderness of Judea, wearing clothes made from camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey? Remember how he baptized people as they came down to the Jordan River? Then the religious leaders came to the river for baptism, and John gave them an earful, but he also told them, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals." In chapter 4 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus hears that John has been arrested, and now in chapter 11, we know that John is sitting in prison. This one who proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, this one who proclaimed that there would be a new way to live in this world, has been arrested and placed in prison. And so time passes, and John begins to wonder, is this really the one? I mean, here I am sitting in jail. I baptized Jesus. I proclaimed repentance and a new way to live, and here I sit. So John sends his disciples, as we heard, to find Jesus and ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Are you really the Messiah, Jesus, or should we wait? It takes time for the teachings of Christ to come to earth, right? Are you the one, or should we wait?" And Jesus says to John's disciples, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. It appears that Jesus has not wasted time. No one really knows who Jesus is at that point, but that hasn't stopped him. He hasn't waited for the religious leaders to realize who he is when it comes to making people whole. The blind have sight, the lame are walking, the leper's skin is cleansed, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. The good news brought to them. They don't even have to go searching for it. I can't help but imagine that people such as MLK, Rosa Parks, and Nelson Mandela had to have moments sitting in jail wondering, Jesus, are you sure the kingdom of God has come near? Or is there another? Should we wait? After all, Jesus' response to John is that he is the one. All you have to do is look around and see the healing and wholeness that has happened. Where there is wholeness, there is the kingdom of God. Where there is wholeness, there is hope. But those who proclaim this wholeness are often arrested and sit in jail. And the world says, just give it time. Time heals all. And that is where the words of Martin Luther King Jr. make me want to go hide in a hole. He's absolutely right, you know, time itself heals nothing. Time itself does not bring wholeness to those who are hurting. Time itself does not bring hope. Instead, as John sits in jail wondering his fate, which isn't a good one, by the way, if you remember, he's wondering if there is hope or should we just wait and let time pass by. This is such a different kind of text for Advent. It is the text that will be used by most preachers next week. I used this week's text last week. When we talked about turning Advent upside down, I really meant it, turning it upside down. I'm not even using the scriptures in the right order. It's a different kind of text, though, because most of Advent, we pastors try to keep you waiting, the congregation waiting. Don't jump to Christmas morning yet. Don't sing about the baby Jesus yet. That will come in time. But for now, let's pretend as if we don't know the end of the story so that when we wake up on Christmas morning and Christ is born anew in this world, we can celebrate. Let's take 4 weeks to prepare our hearts for the birth of Christ. Let's wait. So then what happens for those of us who preach from the lectionary? This text from Matthew appears. And Jesus is already born, already baptized, already tempted in the desert, already called his disciples, already delivered his Sermon on the Mount. He has healed lepers, healed a centurion soldier's servant, healed Peter's mother-in-law, calmed the stormy waters, healed a demoniac, healed a paralyzed man, healed a little girl and a woman who had been bleeding for years, healed two blind men and a demoniac who was mute. And he has sent his disciples out into the world to proclaim the good news. That is the text we have right here in the middle of Advent when I don't want you to really think about the Messiah has already been born, much less been doing ministry for quite a while. I want that time. I want you to wait. I want us to relax in the knowledge that we have several more weeks to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. I want us to wait. But the problem is, as we wait, there's a whole world outside the doors of this church, a world that needs the hope and the wholeness that we can offer through the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about spending less money this year. Spend less on material gifts and spend the money we save on items for Harriet Tubman Center and avenues. Harriet Tubman sure didn't wait on time to make life whole and full of hope for people, did she? The center after her here in named after her here in Minneapolis offers safe shelter to women and children. Avenues offers safe shelter for homeless youth and has a program for GLBT youth who have been asked to leave their homes or find themselves homeless. Are you beginning to see why MLK's words make me want to hide again? He is right. Time is not going to find a solution for the violence acted out against women and children. Time is not going to find a solution for the thousands of homeless youth that are in our city. Time is not going to offer hope. It is the giving of ourselves. It is the giving of our time to offer a gift of hope, a word of hope, a touch of hope,
that will say to those in need, He is the one. Last night I reached this point in the sermon and I had nowhere to go. I told Brian, I don't have an ending for this sermon. So I decided to go to bed and hopefully something would come to me miraculously during the night or maybe when I woke up in the morning. My hope was that there would be this incredible story to share with you that would come to me. After all, this text works perfectly for connecting people sitting in jail, such as John the Baptist, MLK, and Mandela. It works great for reminding us that time does not heal anything, that what heals is when we all have wholeness and hope. It works perfectly as a way to understand what healing, wholeness, and hope look like. People healed, walking, talking, and the good news for Jesus Christ proclaimed to the poor. But that good news isn't just words, it is also offering wholeness to a hurting world. Or as I was reminded yesterday, as we disciples like to say, wholeness in a fragmented world. It works perfectly with reminding us that as others may wait, we are called to stop waiting and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. It works perfectly, except it doesn't work with all of you sitting here. The concept of wondering if you should wait just doesn't fit you. I don't know if you realize it or not. Several weeks ago, Deb got a call from one of the food shelves that we support. It appears that we're supposed to be volunteering at the food shelf on Mondays. Deb had never heard of this. I had no idea. And so we began trying to figure out what had happened to this volunteering that we never knew about. Well, I know. You just outed yourself. Because I was going to talk about her without you knowing. Well, what had happened, in case you didn't hear, Bobby, is the members of this congregation saw what it means for the Messiah to come and have been volunteering on Mondays, not just the ones that have the fifth Mondays, at the food shelf for years and years and years and years. Right, Deb? No one waited to see if something better came along. Instead, people have quietly been volunteering on Mondays. Nobody said, should we wait? You just went and did. One of the volunteers is not able to make it there anymore as it is a long drive for him, and that is why we got the call. As Deb and I have tried to figure out who is volunteering and when and how, we have discovered this whole underground network, so to speak, Harriet Tubman would be proud, of people who in this congregation who are not waiting, who are serving and offering hope. Even Bobby doesn't know who else is volunteering. They know that time will not heal an empty stomach. They know that time will not cure the ills of our world. And with the same hope and same belief that Jesus is the one, as MLK and Mandela and Rosa Parks and many more that came before, they have worked Monday after Monday, year after year, making sure that the answer to the question, should we wait, is a resounding no. Advent is a time of waiting. I'm beginning to believe that the waiting is just for our worship services. For there is no way to stop the incredible gift of life this congregation offers to all. So if you're wondering if Jesus is the one, let me tell you what I have seen and heard around here. Homeless fed, children clothed, sick receive medicine, vulnerable have shelter, and everyone that walks through the doors of our worship space are treated with love, respect, and dignity. Should we wait? For another, I hope we never do. Amen.